I'm Jamie Hurst, and for the MSU Denver Alumni Association, we're excited to bring you Bird Talk, a podcast about our alumni, their careers, and their lives.
Morning, Roadrunners.
Welcome to Day of Giving.
Day of Giving, best day of the year. I mean, best day of the philanthropic day of the year.
Yes.
Commencement up there as well.
Yeah, it's a second.
It's a second. So we have a full docket for you. So, Brandy, I appreciate you coming to start this.
Yes.
But I'm going to kick you out of my studio.
Okay.
Because we are going to start with a very exciting thing today, and that is going to be our very first live stream, live recording Bird Talk episode. And so we are excited to do that. So I'm going to kick you out of my studio.
All right. I'm happy to leave.
Go check on that coffee because this is going to be a long day. We've got a lot of exciting things to talk about. But as you walk away, I'm excited to introduce today's live Bird Talk guest, Amy Watanabe.
Yeah. Okay. Your question was what?
Was, yes. And that's Amy Watanabe, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. So today's guest is Amy Watanabe. Amy is a 2010 graduate of MSU Denver, earning her degree in human performance and sport with a concentration in K-12 physical education. While on campus, Amy was a student athlete on the Roadrunners volleyball team, where she won two RMAC tournament championships and advanced to NCAA regionals each year. She graduated as the school's all-time leader in digs with 1,640 digs, a record she still holds today. And as a student athlete, Amy was recognized as an all-RMAC second team selection, the RMAC Defensive Player of the Year. She received the Men Award and was recognized as MSU Denver's Female Athlete of the Year. Still with the Roadrunners volleyball program, Amy now serves as the associate head coach, a position she was promoted to in 2023. And since transitioning to the sideline in 2010, you have contributed to an impressive 301-93 overall record, which you didn't even know, I bet, while coaching 9 All-Americans and 2 Conference Players of the Year. Amy is a Roadrunner through and through, and we are so excited to have you as our guest for our first ever live recording. Amy, welcome to Bird Talk.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Amy, I'm super pumped to have you. Thanks for doing this. I know it's outside of your comfort zone, so I'm so excited about this.
I mean, that's where you learn, right? Outside your comfort zone?
Okay, she's a coach at all points, guys. This is fantastic. So, I've known you for 10 years now.
That's crazy.
It is crazy because, I mean, we're both in our 20s, and that's incredible. I mean, we were so young when we met.
Yeah. What, 10?
12. I mean, that's not 12, maybe 13. I don't want to lie. But I love your story. You're a Denver native. Came to MSU Denver kind of by chance.
Very much by chance.
Yeah, talk us through that.
Yeah, everyone asks me like how you end up here, and I honestly don't know how I ended up here.
Yeah.
I was a 5'3 setter. I'm short, and if those of you that play volleyball, like 5'3 setter is not really a thing in college. Mm-hmm. So
unless you run a 6'2, but we won't get to that right now, guys.
This is true. Long story short, I came to an open tryout here with Debbie Hendricks at the time. And tried out, and they told me that they would get back to me in 3 weeks if they're interested.
And now as a coach, you know what that means.
Yeah, and now being on this side of it, like, I still don't know how I got here. Yeah. I got a call 10 weeks later, full of hope, totally thinking I made it. 10 weeks later, asking to be a walk-on, no clue what that meant. Debbie came to a club tryout. You want to walk on and be a practice player? I was like, yeah, I would love to do that. So I showed up. I didn't do any workouts over the summer. I didn't understand that was a thing. Failed all the fitness tests and walked on that fall. And funny fact is I thought a walk-on, you could get cut at any point.
Sure.
Yeah.
The fear. It's just like they can cut Bird Talk if I don't get through this. I get it. It's a great motivator.
So mentally, you know, I was like, if I don't pass a 2-2, I'm done. Like, that's it. My career's over. So pros and cons of that.
Sure.
But I luckily I landed in the right spot. Debbie was a really good coach for me and ended up being a starter my freshman year. Also didn't know. I was clueless. I didn't know I was a starter until Debbie told me.
Sure.
And then she's like, Amy, you're not redshirting, you're starting. And I was like, okay. Like, I don't know what that means. And still, yeah, it's fascinating. And then I got put on some money that spring and the rest is history. I just landed in the right spot. I think it was fate, I guess.
Yeah.
I really don't understand how I got here still to this day.
Hey, we're just glad you did. Now, you ended up playing libero, right?
I did. I converted to a DS and ended up being our libero.
Yeah. So I was a DS in high school. This is how Amy and I, that's why I say things like 6'2", just to show off my volleyball knowledge. And actually, I coached a year of volleyball in college. I know.
Really?
I keep that as a secret because,
Can you come hit?
No, I can't hit. I was a DS. And back when I played, you know, back when I was 10, and in those early times, in the 90s and in high school, we didn't have the libero yet. So it was a DS. And I played on a very good team in high school. And so I think think three or four of our kids went to D1, went on to play in college at somewhere. I did not. Well, I went on to play softball. But anyhow, long story short, if the libero had existed when I was in high school, or I knew that it was a thing, I think I probably would have chosen to try and pursue volleyball more than softball. Because to me, it was the most fun sport to play because there was so much action, especially as a back row player, because you get to just outsmart people. You get to look at body mechanics and say, oh, that's arm angles coming over here. Or you get to look at your slow middle sometimes that don't close back and go, I'm going to cover your ass and get where I need to go. And it was so fun.
The last 3 years, it's been kind of like this era, I guess you could say, of a new Roadrunners volleyball era. And it's been really fun to be a part of, and even coaching that, like, that's been fun, keeping our high standard, but then like raising it to a new level and really pursuing an actual national championship.
Well, and it's hard to think of it that it's a new era when you guys are what, 24, 23 years in a row of making the regional tournament, making the NCAA champ, you know, postseason. So, I mean, that's an era in and of itself. And so now to have to build upon that, what you and Coach Jenny Glenn have done is really incredible.
It's pretty incredible.
So you've been here, you got here, you landed here by chance. We'll talk about your playing career if you want to, because I do. I love the idea that you were a walk on that was like, sure, I can get cut at any point in time. And then you end as the RMAC Defensive Player of the Year and MSU Denver's Female Athlete of the Year. That's an incredible story. But you left for 1 year. You said, maybe I'll try that other MSU. He said, never mind, I'm coming back to the better one.
The one with the B at the end of it instead of the D.
Exactly. But what's kept you here?
I don't know. I just love this place. I love what MSU Denver stands for. And I believe in what its mission is and what we can do to impact all students, not just athletes in their lives, and giving people opportunities. And I just love the diversity of it, not just culture, race, any of that, like the ages, the genders. Like I loved having the moms and dads in my classes because I was a shy 18-year-old that wouldn't ask any questions, and they would, and they are so serious about their education. And I think that's important for like our 18, 19-year-old traditional students to see. Education is important and people do value it. And usually our older students have like a tremendous value because they're investing in themselves. And I just think why I was here as an athlete, I had really cool classmates and like other fellow student athletes. I had really unique stories of second chances, like whether that's getting pregnant and having a child and we brought them in after they got kicked off their D1 team, or like a 32-year-old, my teammate Anna Mapes was 32 and came back after getting married and having two kids to finish out her career, and just like giving people opportunities. And I think that's ultimately what MSU Denver like stands for. And I think that's super important for me, is giving people opportunities and second chances that maybe don't have access to those at other traditional institutions.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I've heard you talk about, especially when we think about collegiate coaches. In fact, even before we went on air, we were talking about how Amy has to get on a flight after this and go recruit, because that's a part of this. And so much of that community, that club community, whether it's volleyball or it's club softball or it's AAU basketball, it's gotten so expensive and so elite and so ridiculous. As someone with, you know, five nieces and nephews that I watch my, you know, brother and sister-in-laws spend their entire life. Like, I'm like, if you just save that money, put it in a CD, just a nice CD at, you know, 4.5%, you could actually finance their college education instead of trying to do all this stuff that you're being sold and told you have to do in order to get a scholarship that you may or may not get. And what people also don't understand is that very few people are getting full ride scholarships.
Yeah, especially,
not at the Division II level, for sure. And even Division I, sure, volleyball is a head count sport, so you get it. But how many we got? 12 on 12 scholarships at the D1 level? I don't know. I mean, it's not a lot. The amount of money that is there is not enough that we're investing so much in the space. And what it's created is a system where you're precluding a lot of people from the opportunity to even seek that. And I've heard you talk about this before, and even you did something about it. Your opportunity camp.
I did do something about it.
Which is incredible.
Club sports is its own animal, and
it's expensive.
It's absurd. I mean, it's changed too over the past however many years we've been alive. When I played, there wasn't as many clubs. So now that there's more, it's also spread out. So it's also decreasing, in my opinion, like the talent, because the best players aren't playing against the best players anymore, and everyone's spread out. So we're not sharpening the most talented kids with the most talented kids, which is like diluting.
Our hundreds of thousands of viewers are going to do it every single word that you're saying.
Which is diluting, like for us at the college level or whatever. And Yeah. So yes, I did do something about it because I was upset, and I tend to be an action kind of person. Mm-hmm. I've realized. So yeah, I created the opportunity camp. So the whole goal of it costs $1. I want it to be free, but due to NCAA rules, it had to cost something. So it's $1. And I target specifically DPS, what is it called? Title I, like Title I schools in the Denver metro area. So the whole intent is to provide a college volleyball opportunity for those students out there that don't have access to the club system, because that is where we recruit from. Mm-hmm. So systemically, it has its pros and cons. So I wanted to create an opportunity for those kids to get seen and to get some training. And like, realistically, I'd love to like grow it into like a combine where we bring in some JCs and we bring in some NAIAs. And it's like, we give those coaches something like a PD kind of situation. Yeah. And then we have them come watch this combine and give these kids some access to be seen, since they don't have that. You know, I'm only in year 3 now of this, and we grew it, but it's still not there. But that's ideally what I would love to do, because the reality is that you can play at multiple different levels. And I just think it's important for kids to get access, even if it doesn't get them to a scholarship or into college playing the sport. Maybe they're more interested in trying to get on a campus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we just had one in March. Yeah. We had 30 kids come, 40 sign up, 30 showed up, but it was awesome. And our girls did a really good job too, like giving back to them as well. So it was really fun. And they're just so joyful and so appreciative. So,
well, yeah. It's something I think we need to see more of that. And that is one of the things, I mean, when we talk about at length on this podcast, which I'm sure you've listened to every episode.
I've listened to a couple.
Oh, there you go. Look
I'm
at
a good,
that.
I'm a good alumni,
you are
Jamie.
A good alumni. It's true. It's true. But we talk at length about the idea of building community and being a part of something. And so when I think about MSU Denver, the thing that I really appreciate the most about the efforts of this institution is when we can articulate that our community is more than the students that are just here and the ones that might come here. It's the ones that maybe won't ever come here. But if we put the idea that, hey, I just stepped foot on a college campus into someone's brain, then, or I had this opportunity, or I was seen in this space, or somebody, you know, gave me a chance at something, you're opening up potential windows that might open into doors later. And I love that we focus on that. While I know our mission is to serve our students in this space, but we do such a great job of serving our city and our state. And I think it's programs like that that we should be shouting from the top of mountains or skyscrapers, as it were, talking about what incredible work it is. So
thank you.
I'll make sure I give you a shout out.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. There's another one in May. Okay. Come on out.
Yeah. $1. $1, which is pretty great. Okay. At this point in time, I'm going to take a quick break, because if you listen to this, you know that each of our episodes is brought to you by someone.
Baseball is back, and so is the 50-50 raffle. MSU Denver is excited to kick off its 7th season being the official nonprofit partner with the Colorado Rockies for the 50-50 raffle. Whether you are at Coors Field or at home in Colorado, you can purchase 50-50 raffle tickets to help support the MSU Denver community and make a difference in the lives of our students. Please visit Rockies5050.com to learn more or to purchase your tickets online.
Today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Larry Bird and the 1992 Dream Team. We worked on that all morning. That was Brandy right out. AI didn't have to write that one. Just BR. Yeah. Okay, I have really the most pressing question I've been wanting to ask you.
Okay.
14 presidential libraries you visited. Why is that on your bio?
I know, I'm a nerd. I like you, I'm a nerd. You like to sing. I like to go to museums. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ironically, it started at Nixon's library.
Sure. The library that we should go to learn about how to be a president. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always like, what is a presidential library? And then I went with my aunt. They live in California. And I was like, this is fascinating. Kind of just like any public figure, like... We only know their highs and their lows. Mm-hmm. We don't know the whole story. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, it just gave me perspective. I'm not like super fans of any president. Mm-hmm. Like I just wanted to go learn about how they got there. Mm-hmm. 'Cause at the end of the day, they're still just ordinary people that ended up in a really extraordinary position. Right. So for me, I went to Nixon's and I was like, wow, this is fascinating. Mm-hmm. And if this is fascinating, I don't even... I don't even know. Yeah, like
resign and shame.
Yeah, like what's LBJ is going to be What's Carter's? Carter's was really good as in Atlanta. Yeah. So yeah, it's taken me some really unique places along the way. I'm still missing, I think, 4.
Okay.
Yeah, so I set a goal because you know I'm a coach. So I was like, well, now I need to complete this and go to all of them.
Of course.
Because it's only fair.
It's only fair. That's only fair to her.
To the presidents. Because they care that I visited their library. Yeah, but
sure. I get it. I did it with baseball stadiums. I've got six left. And then it was one of those things. I set a goal, but it's allowed me to travel this country. I mean, when I was, I know this is hard to believe because it sounds like it was a long time ago, but when I was 23 and went to graduate school, you know, a few years
yesterday?
ago, and found myself in the middle of the country, like I'd never done any traveling. Like I'd been to California, I'd been to Nevada, I'd been to, I think, Washington and Oregon because I had an uncle that lived there, and one time out to Philadelphia. I hadn't seen any other parts of the country. Now all of a sudden I'm living in Indiana, and I was like, everything's drivable from here. And so it forced myself to go and see other parts of our country, experience their things. I mean, I have been to some museums along the way, but for me it was baseball stadiums, and it took me to all those places.
Yeah, I love museums in general and National Historic Parks.
Well, I'm with you there.
The National Historic sites are actually free, so you can learn a lot about America at those, and it's free.
Not even $1.
On a budget.
Yes. I know. That was the very first time. I took my mom to Washington, D.C. Right before COVID. So it was like the very start of 2020. Like it was, we got home like 3 weeks before everything shut down. I was like, do we need to be worried that we were just in D.C.? I don't know. We were all okay. But she had never been. And so she was kind of worried. She's like, well, I'm saving up some stuff. I was like, Mom, everything's free in D.C. And she was like, well, what do you mean? I was like, it's free. Everywhere you want to go, it's free. She's like, the Smithsonian's? I was like, yes. And she was like, well, we got to come back here. I mean, I was like, okay. Hey, you know?
Yeah, we didn't really do museums either. It's been like an adulthood thing I've found out about myself.
It's like how your taste buds change as you get older.
Yeah, I just like learning.
Your brain buds are changing too.
Yeah, I'm that person that spends like 4 hours at one museum. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to introduce you to my sister because you guys can hang out a ton. Okay. Because we have very different ideas of what a vacation is. Like I have the vacations where like I'm going to accomplish something. I'm going to go see the stadium or I'm going to go do this thing. But usually when I hear the word vacation, I'm thinking a beach and all you can drink.
Fair. Yeah. Vacation and trip are two different things. A trip has a mission.
Way. Yeah.
Vacation's a let's no chill mission. And not think about anything.
I know. Because like when we went to Boston, Annie and I went to Boston, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. She'd never been to Boston. Boston's one of my favorite cities. And so I was like, here's our itinerary. And it looked like this. I was like, we will be waking up and eating the continental breakfast at 7:45. We will be out the door by 8 o'clock. We will then be on the Freedom Trail and it will take us to this. By lunch, we will be at the Cheers Bar. And then we will, you know, like literally had it down. And she was like, well, when are we going to hang out? I was like, we're not. We're in Boston.
We're getting it done.
And then she's like, it's a city. I was like, Boston's small compared to other cities. You can walk the whole damn thing. We are on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. That's awesome. Okay. Other thing we share in common, because we like to talk about our alums as people, because just like presidents, we're real people too.
That's right.
You love musicals. And I love that you love musicals because I'm the weird athlete in a musical family. So have been tangentially in that space. Love it myself. Don't pursue it like the rest of my family does, but you just took a trip to New York with your dad, yeah?
Yeah, I've been to New York 3 times in the last year.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's been a thing. Yeah, I love musicals because I can't do it. So, and I just like appreciate the talent that it takes and the creativity. I'm going to nerd out. And I love the staging and the lighting and like what it can do and the message it can send. And I think it's super entertaining. Mm-hmm. But I went with my dad and we saw 5 musicals in 4 days and a couple plays and it was excellent. And then I went back in the summer with both of my parents and we saw 4 other musicals also.
Have you now when you go, do you see new musicals each time or are there ones that you're like, if it's playing, I'm going to see it?
No, new musicals, whatever the new season is.
So you're not just hitting Phantom over and over again.
No, we have done Phantom.
Well, obviously.
Because my
mom's not a monster.
I'm not. It's my mom's favorite. But no, we also are members, subscribers for the DCPA here, the local theater. So we get to see a lot of those tours. So we go to the ones that are only there for a limited time or certain actors on stage that we want to see perform live. Because it's definitely a different experience than watching them in a movie or TV. 100%. So, yeah.
Favorite show?
That I've been to this year or in general?
In general.
My favorite musical of all time, Rent.
Really?
Yeah. And I got to see it the winter that it closed.
Okay.
And it was extremely powerful. I've seen it 6 times.
Okay. So you do see them more than once.
Well, yeah, because it's the best musical. So...
You know what's funny? So again, super musical family. My brother is a professional musical.
I know. You told me that. And I need
he's
to,
starring
I,
right now. If anyone wants to go, they think there's 2 weekends left. He's in Big Fish up at the theater in Fort Collins, the fancy one.
I need to go.
I don't know. I was supposed to go last weekend. I feel like the world's worst sister. I was supposed to go last weekend, but my show got canceled because of the winds.
Mm.
And so then my mom's like, can you reschedule? And I was like, oh, we have softball games this weekend. Ooh, sorry, I can't. So yes, I am choosing MSU Denver over my brother, but... I've seen hundreds of shows.
Next time, you need to invite me. I want to see your brother.
Yeah, he's going to be in California all summer doing something. Brothers, I don't know. All I know is that I've seen a lot of shows, a lot of space in that time. But it's funny, I have seen Rent as well. And have sang the music in various choirs and in various opportunities. It's still not my favorite. I love the message. I love the power. I'm not a pop rock. I know we might have to distance ourselves here for a bit. I'm not a pop opera, rock opera.
I don't consider it a pop. Okay.
Rock. It's a rock opera. I don't know. Maybe I'm just more classical in this.
Well, what's your favorite?
I will oscillate between Jekyll and Hyde.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Nope.
Oh, well, you're fired. Jekyll and Hyde. I am a Les Mis originalist in that space. I've seen Phantom 3,000 times. Wicked is on the top of my list, but mostly, it's fantastic. Everything's wonderful about it. But it was the first musical I took my wife to, and she had never been to a musical and was like skeptical. And so I took her up to Chicago, and she was like, and she sat on the edge of her seat the whole time, and now she's in. So she's the one that will get us tickets to the DCPA shows. I will say just recently we saw the Tina Turner one. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
That was a show.
Excellent. Yes.
That was incredible. That woman had a voice of an angel. And then at the end, it's just a concert at the end.
Yeah.
Which I was like,
it's amazing.
Keep it going. And then we saw Jagged Little Pill, and that the woman that played the lead in that just melted my heart every time she opened her mouth.
Yeah, that one was super powerful.
Yeah.
I liked that one a lot too.
It was pretty incredible.
I feel like Wicked's the one. Like, if you've never been to a musical, it's the one.
Bree Milnes, who's running this fantastic Day of Giving, never been to a musical, made her come to
Wicked,
and she was like, yep. And then I take him to Lion King after that, if Lion King's around, because those are two that you can be like, you can get the scene and the characters and the lighting and the special effects piece to be like, that's incredible. And Wicked, everyone, you don't have to tell that story. One word of caution I will give you is that if you were ever taking someone and bringing them into this musical space, be very clear when you transition from musical theater to opera. Doesn't go well. So my brother does a lot of things. He had a summer stock gig in a Puccini opera in Cedar Rapids when I was living in Iowa. So I was like, this is perfect. My brother's in town for like 2 weeks doing this opera. So I'm like, Annie, we're going to go see one of my brother's shows. It's about 30 minutes to showtime. I say, okay, so let me give you a synopsis of the show and a rundown. Right. She's like, I can follow along. And I was like, so it's in Italian. She's like, why is it in Italian? I go, because it's an opera. And I was like, I told you, we were going to see Puccini. And she was like, how am I supposed to know? And she was like, well, how am I going to know what's going on? I go, that's why I'm giving you the synopsis now. I said, you'll still, that's the whole point, is it's supposed to make you feel and you're supposed to see and you'll follow the story even without being able to understand the words because they're not in English. Didn't go over great. So I just scratched the operas off the list.
I think that's a good choice. Yeah. Operas are hard.
So just a word of wisdom in case you're going to try and bring anyone into this. Don't start with an opera. Don't like tease them with Wicked and Lion King and then be like,
come to this awesome opera.
Come to this awesome opera.
I agree. I think just stay on the musicals level that everyone loves.
Lessons to be learned.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we talked about musicals, presidential libraries. We talked about your opportunity camp. The other thing I just want to make sure all of our viewers, whether it's live today or listening when this gets put together, is that I tried to social media stalk you like I do all of our guests to learn a little bit about you. It is just MSU Denver on your feeds.
Well, which account were you looking at?
Oh, there it is.
I have a Coach by Public account.
Because I was like, man, you got to do some things other than MSU Denver. I mean, you don't. It's wonderful. But I was like, I went through years. And I was like, there's not a single post here that isn't like, look how good at volleyball the volleyball team is, you know?
I mean, doing my job,
you know? It is, I guess.
That's what I get paid for.
So you have a secondary account where you hide all of your secrets. Okay.
That's my Coach account. Okay. I'm gonna have.
So what would I have learned had I stalked that appropriately?
I mean, that's pretty dead too. I'm not going to lie. I kind of stay off social media a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But why? The world is just so exciting on social media.
Yeah. It's not good for my mental health, to be super honest with you. What would you find? You would find my family. I have a niece and a nephew that I'm obsessed with.
Mm-hmm. They come and support you at a lot of games.
Yeah, and they love Rowdy.
Yeah.
They are like Rowdy's number one fan. And Sammy's even like playing volleyball, like wants to play volleyball and all of that. So I'm really a big family person. I like travel with my parents a lot. I have a brother and his wife live here. And then my other brother's in Korea. So, big family. Let's see. What else do I do? You covered a lot of it.
I did. I mean, museum. Presidential libraries.
I like art. No, I'm an art nerd at heart. Okay. I was president.
Have you been to
president of art club in high school?
Were you really?
So there's an interesting fact.
So
for you.
Okay, let me just bring this on. President of art club. Volleyball, then you study human performance and sport. Did you actually do anything else here, though, that expanded that? Or did you not take advantage of all the things you now know that MSC Denver has to offer?
That's a great question.
Because I know what it's like being an athlete. Like,
and accountability, yeah. I did not. I think I could have participated more, in other entities other than just athletics. Yeah. But what did I do? I did SAC and volleyball.
Yeah.
And I was in PEAT Club, the PE Teachers Education Club. And that was really fun. I got to go to the national convention and meet some friends there. But no, I would say now more as an employee, I've engaged in some other things. I'm in a couple affinity groups. I'm in the APETA affinity group, the alumni employee affinity group. And then I've gone to musicals and things like that.
I saw that on your social media. Your fake real social media.
Yeah. So
your
I've engaged more as a staff member. I don't know what my actual title is. I've done more of the extracurriculars that way, I wish I would have taken advantage of a couple things undergrad, but I was so focused.
But what do you do in art club in high school?
The biggest thing we did was we painted banners that hung down Main Street of Littleton.
Cool.
So we got to design and paint banners, and then we would go paint the window displays for all the businesses in downtown Littleton.
Also homecoming and all that stuff. And
Halloween
stuff.
And all these things, but mainly that, and then just engaging with other students in high school.
Very cool. I just want to give you a chance to talk about Debbie Hendricks.
Okay.
Because Debbie, to me, is another one of those Roadrunner legacies that not only is the reason and the precipice for you coming here, but the reason you came back, the reason you've stayed. Because what we didn't get to is this unique space that you were recruited by Debbie Hendricks, who was the volleyball coach here for a very long time. Then you coached with her as a student assistant while you were finishing your degree, then as a full-time. Then Debbie retired and you had a coaching transition. And that would have been an easy time to be like, you know what? My time here is good. But you didn't. You stuck it out. And that's always hard. And we brought in Jenny Glenn, who's had a fantastic early start. 7 years now? 8 years?
And going on eight. Going on eight, yeah.
Has built upon that incredible legacy that Debbie has built. I also appreciate so much how much she embraced what Debbie did. Oftentimes you see when a new coach comes in after a legacy coach, it's like, oh, well, we're starting over. And I have just appreciated so much being able to see from a distance how much the two are still intertwined, whether it's when we're at Hall of Fame scenarios and you're seeing both coaches there talking about that. Debbie still comes back and calls your games when we're on Roadrunners TV, which is incredible. When we were at the Hall of Fame, Debbie got inducted into the Hall of Fame and you got to give her introductory speech. Now, I've sat through a lot of Hall of Fame ceremonies. Some okay. Some less than okay. Very few that I leave that I'm just like, I got all of that. And I get it. It's not about me as somebody sitting there. It's about the person that's being awarded. When Annie got inducted into her Hall of Fame for college, I was enthralled. I was like, this is fantastic. But I will say, I've heard a lot of introductory speeches, but yours might be one of my favorites because they got laughs. They're sentimental. They are lighthearted, but they're also getting at the truth of it. So could you please recite that speech for us right now?
Yeah, you can reference All Access. Roadrunners All Access on YouTube.
But my question really about Debbie is, she has to, I presume she's somebody that's made a big impact on your life. And so having been in that space where you've seen what that does, has that influenced you as a coach in any way to try and be someone else's Debbie?
Yeah, Debbie, super impactful, obviously took a chance on me. Still don't know why. I need to ask her that at some point in my life. But I just think I was super lucky. This is a really good fit. The program was a really good fit for me. Her coaching style was a really good fit for me. And she's somebody I lean on both as once I wasn't scared of her after my freshman year, cause I thought I was getting cut every day. Once I got past that, we were able to build a really good relationship and even rely on each other through my playing career. But she impacted me just by giving me a chance. She gave a lot of people chances. And then she also just pushed us. Yeah, that was definitely her strength, was able to get the best out of us and she wasn't worried about hurting. That sounds weird. Hurting our feelings. I know that sounds strange, but it's important as a coach because it's hard. And I think that's the thing I admire the most about her is she was willing to be disliked in order to get us to where we need to be and pushing us to
And there's
places.
A difference, too, of being disliked in the moment versus being disliked as a person and how the dynamics and the culture and it's shifted and changed so much. But one of my greatest takeaways, I think, from a lifetime of being an athlete was that when somebody, if a coach corrected me, be and said, that was wrong, or that was a bad swing, or that was, you just missed, you sucked, whatever it was. I now, as an adult, as a grown-ass adult, can say that I know that you are pointing out the thing that I did wrong, which means that there's a way that I can do it differently to do it better. Where I see a challenge in spaces when we're afraid to say those things mm-hmm. is that if I say, hey, Amy, that was wrong, what you hear is, Amy, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And that we're seeing that transition, I think, in the world in general. And I think when we have those very important people that we can trust and respect and that we know who care for us deeply, when they can point out a thing that's wrong, we can more easily make that distinction to know that they're pointing out a thing that I didn't do because they know that I can do it. They're not attacking me as a person.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing.
It's a hard balance. And yeah, when mm-hmm. you have 12 people mm-hmm. or whatever the size mm-hmm. of your roster is, that's a lot of emotions and a lot of things. And we, even now as a coaching staff, we work really hard and we have those conversations with our girls. Like, feedback is data, mm-hmm. like, take the emotion out of it. Try your best to remove the emotion. What am I trying to tell you to mm-hmm. get you to do? But I think it's also core that you build those relationships with your student athletes. Cause if they don't know you care about them, then they're not going to want to do it. And they're only going to take it in a negative light. So I think for us, like as a staff for the volleyball team, we really work hard on building genuine relationships. And we've come up with, I don't know if this is a real term, but we like holistic style to coaching. Mm-hmm. Like, we believe it's bigger than the sport. And like, what we want to do, MSU Denver Volleyball, what we want to do is like make them the best humans they can be and use the sport to get them there.
100%.
And I think that nobody sees that. Everyone sees the wins, the losses, the performance, but the stuff we're doing honestly right now in the spring is where I think the heart of our program actually is in the off season. Cause we work on core values. We work on mental training, leadership development. And like, so they're prepared to go out in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the biggest thing I think that's still kind of missing in the realm of athletics is that transition period when they lose this big chunk of their identity and all of a sudden the structure and the identity is gone and they're like, go be an adult. Like, that's really hard.
That's why you never left. Right?
That's why I've never, yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to just keep being a volleyball person, but it's hard. And I think we try really hard to like try to bridge that gap. Are yeah. we really great at that? No, but we make the effort to prepare them to enter the real world.
It's a tough transition.
And it's hard.
And equipping, being able to translate the things that you're doing into that space is super, super important. But I do think to just take it full circle, because okay. that's what we do here on Bird Talk. Hopefully we do. Hopefully that's what our viewers would say. You started by talking about how you've had to build kind of upon a legacy that was already 23 years, which is a silly legacy. And I think that work that you're doing and that holistic approach and understanding that it is about more than wins and losses. It's about learning how to win and lose life. And so yeah. we're doing that by teaching it through the sport is really a part of that catalyst that has given you these last 3 years of unprecedented success. Now, I just have one request.
Okay.
Can we beat West Texas A&M? Yeah,
please? You know, dude, I've been wanting to beat them since 2006. So like, let's do it.
I know, we got it.
So,
okay. So I don't get fired by my producer. It is now time for rapid fire questions. See? My music. I wrote a jingle for Bird Talk, but David nixed me on it.
Oh, dang.
But it's great. Bird Talk, talking about birds. That's all I've gotten so far, but it's going to make it. Okay, rapid fire questions.
Okay.
What is your favorite MSU Denver memory?
Beating Kearney at Kearney my senior year.
Ah, fair. Mm-hmm. I get it.
That's the only time I beat them my whole career, so.
So suck it, Kearney.
Yeah.
And you can quote me on that. Usually that's one of those times where I'm forgetting that I'm live, but that is when David would take that out and nicely put something else in. But here we are. See if I have a job tomorrow. What does it mean to you to be a Roadrunner?
What does it mean? I think I just have a lot of pride in this place and what it stands for and really believe in what it's trying to do. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for being a part of what it's
Thanks.
Trying to do.
Thank you.
All right. Last one. If you could put a billboard on campus with a piece of advice for all students to see, what would it say?
I'd say be authentic, just be who you are and stop worrying about what other people think about you and things you can't control. So be authentic and be you.
That's awesome. Well, Amy, I am glad that you are authentic and that you are you. And I'm so glad we could do this live stream. This is our test to see if we can take the show on the road. But I'm so excited for you to launch our Day of Giving. We've got an incredible Day of Giving. We didn't even get to talk about Roadrunners Volleyball's Day of Giving project, but know that it's there. Please make sure you make that gift more than $1. but a dollar counts too.
A dollar works. Right? So we'll
dollar helps
whatever.
Sends all of those kids to your opportunity camp. But best of luck in your off season. A lot of hard work ahead of you. And then when we come back in the fall, all Roadrunners, baby.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, Amy. Well, Amy's fantastic.
She is lovely.
We're going to have to bring her on and do a real one because I have so many things I didn't get to talk about. I didn't even embarrass her once, and I know so much about Amy.
We could have talked about the presidential libraries for days.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Bird Talk, special accommodation provided by University Advancement. Thank you to Ruby Matheny, Brandy Rideout, production provided by David Sharman, and I'm your host, Jamie Hurst. Keep running, Roadies.